Cool Time with Connor Phillips. With the Heating and Bathroom Centre. From boiler to complete bathroom installation, they do it all.
What is the situation with the Reds at the moment? What is the situation with Steven Gerrard, Daniel Sturridge and Jordan Henderson saying the teams have to be patient as other teams park the bus against Liverpool? So it's Southampton, Manchester United spring to mind very quickly, and a man who might be able to help me out with a few of those questions, a gentleman who is a football writer with the Anfield Wrap, the Liverpool Echo, Anfield HQ, these footy times, and it's great to have him back on Radio City Talk. Joel Rabinovitz, how are you this evening, my friend?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
It's a nice time to be a Liverpool fan, despite the fact that it was a very frustrating day at the weekend.
Yeah, it certainly is. I don't think I'm personally as bothered by it as some people have been. Kind of having watched the match like back a couple of times, like I can't quite understand how we didn't win it in the end. Like, the chances are there. I think we did pretty much everything right. In a lot of ways, it was better than some of the performances we've had where we've won this season. Klein and Firmino had a couple of great chances in the second half. And any other day, those go in, but that's football. It's a bit random.
But
sometimes.
Joel, is this not the game we could look back at when we're heading towards the tasty end of the season? The Liverpool fans now go, do you remember when Sturridge hung the ball up for Klein against his old club? This is it. The net's going to bulge. And then it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends how we respond, really. There's every chance we could get to May, and this we could look back on this as a decent point away from home. I think the thing is, taking points away from the bottom half sides away from home is really important if you want to win titles. But Southampton are one of those teams. They're like the best of the rest. And a lot of they've already got a point at Man City this season. There will be other teams that go there and drop points. I think if you're going to drop points at some stage, which is inevitable, we can't win every game. I think this is one that you look at, especially after an international break. I think if we go ahead and beat Sunderland at the weekend, I think we'll look back at this one. It's not a bad point at all in the end.
Yeah. We'll talk about the Sunderland game in a second. I'll talk about Sturridge and Henderson and a few other bits and pieces. But we might as well address the Steven Gerrard elephant that's in the room. I'm just looking ahead to tonight's game, Celtic taking on Barcelona. And part of me, as an Irishman who's followed Celtic, I wouldn't call myself a Celtic fan, but I've followed Celtic, and I always keep an eye on the results. Part of me would think it would be quite nice to watch Steven Gerrard strip out for Celtic this evening to take on Neymar, Messi and his good old mate Suarez. How likely do you think it is that Gerrard could play another season, and Celtic being very heavily muted with that team?
Yeah, I think if he is to continue like in the playing capacity, I think it would have to be someone like Celtic. I can't see him, like there's been people saying, I'll come back to Liverpool in January and try and win the league, but I don't see that at all. I think if he is going to play, I think that's probably quite unlikely. I see him more likely he's going to go into a coaching job rather than continue playing. But yeah, if he is to, I think Celtic's probably one he'd look at as a possibility. I would say, obviously, he's turned down the MK Dons job.
Why is that, do you think?
I wasn't surprised about that at all. I think Carragher said the same thing. It's just a bit too soon after coming back from LA. Obviously, he's got massive like family ties to Liverpool. So to kind of bring his family down there and go straight into a coaching job, I think, is a bit intense.
I think he just
want to get back to City.
Sorry to interrupt you, but it just felt like a really good fit. You know, MK Dons, what they were doing, you know, the previous manager, obviously a Liverpool fan, has got a big Liverpool history himself. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, when I heard it, my brain kind of went, do you know what, that makes sense. It's a side that are building. Steven Gerrard could go in there and try and build said side. But, you know, for every positive in my head, I do have Kevin Nolan at Leyton Orient comes in and goes, actually, okay, well, just easy on, it might not work, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he was to go into management, and he's spoken about that before as something he might be interested in, I think that's probably quite a good level to go in at if he was to. Obviously, you saw what happened to Gary Neville, went straight into a top job at Valencia, and it's a lot harder job than a lot of people appreciate. So I think, yeah, in many ways, it looked a good fit, and I think maybe Carragher said this as well. I think if that was 12 months further down the line, and he had a bit more time just to settle back into his home and everything, he might have more likely taken that up, but I think for now it probably just came a bit too soon.
Full time with Connor Phillips. With the Heating and Bathroom Centre. From boiler to complete bathroom installation, they do it all.
There are reasons why I love Leicester City as a football team, And there are reasons why I'm not a massive fan of Leicester City as a football team. Here are the reasons. The reasons I love Leicester City as a football team: they defied all the odds last season and they won the Premier League. They're also defying all the odds this season, and they are currently through to the last 16 in the UEFA Champions League. Now, the reason, small reason, sometimes I don't like Leicester City is because, well, Christian Fuchs plays for them. And as a radio presenter, trying to pronounce his name and not getting in trouble is a difficult thing. And this has developed somewhat because from the, bear with me, For Fuck's Sake podcast, I have Pete Selby with me. Pete, you can understand why sometimes I look at Leicester City and go, oh, as a broadcaster, this isn't easy.
You want to try saying his name 100 times a game, especially when he either scores a screamer, which he did in the Premier League a few weeks ago, or when he sets up the first goal last night for Okazaki. I don't mind saying his name because every time he gets the ball, and he was my man of the match yesterday. He was extraordinary, a fantastic performance from him and the rest of the players.
Yes, For Fuck's Sake, the podcast. Pete Selby joins me now. And you know what? It's great having you back on the show. We had you on the show just as Leicester City were reaching the land of the impossible last year, but the impossible became possible. Before we talk about this campaign, how long did the hangover last for?
I think I've still got it slightly. It's just carried on all summer. Oh, the one thing I'll say, the whole city was jumping, and that's what you would imagine, but I'm talking in a way that I've not seen anything like it. There's been murals painted on the side of huge skyscrapers and houses, none of which has been damaged or tagged or painted over. Everyone's got a blue shirt. The actual parade was just sensational. The weather was brilliant. There was basically a quarter of a million people in Victoria Park. The people were drinking on the streets. There was no trouble whatsoever. The police recorded no arrests on the whole day, and it was ridiculous. The whole place has gone mad, absolutely mad, but in a really good way. You know, it's sensational. And this is for Leicester fans who have been fans their whole life. They support their local club. It's a one-club county. And we know what we expect with Leicester. We're a championship, borderline premiership team in terms of size. We go up, we go down, we enjoy a roller coaster every season. And we respect the big clubs and we watch them in Europe and do their thing. But this time, it's little Leicester.
The reason I know Leicester are now a powerhouse is not because you're in the last 16. It's not because Mr. Ranieri is there with that big smile. Is I was in Milan a couple of months ago, right? And I was on the internet in Milan, and it brought me to one of these holding pages where you try and get on someone's free Wi-Fi. And I think it was in and around the San Siro. But what it does, just on the holding page, it was trying to sell me football jerseys. Right? Just, it was one of them sporting areas. I was like, get the AC Milan jersey, the Inter Milan jersey, from the Premier League. Get Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, and Leicester. There was there was four options, and Leicester was one of them. And you know, from an international football perspective, I went, that's flipping brilliant. I absolutely love that.
I was very fortunate to be working in Rio during the summer, and I went up to Christ the Redeemer on a day off, and I took my shirt with me. I didn't wear it, so I had it in a bag. And when I got to the top and I thought, okay, I'll get the shirt out. It's got champions and 16 on the back. And I thought I'll hold it up for a photo. As soon as I got out of the bag, surrounded by people who wanted a photo with it. Everyone knew the story. Everyone knew the players. And just like they said on TV when they announced the players one by one to get their medals and then to lift the trophy, this won't be a team that just Leicester fans will be able to recite off by heart, just like you can with the 66 World Cup team, you can maybe with the Euro 96 team. I think football fans throughout the country, in decades to come, they will be able to reel off the 11 players, the main 11 players from last season.
Full time with Connor Phillips, with the Heating and Bathroom Centre. From boiler to complete bathroom installation, they do it all.
Michael Fowler from the Fact Cinema joins me, and we've already done 6 through to 1. Accountant at number 6. Number 5 is Doctor Strange. Number 4 is André Rieu, the Christmas special. These are movies in the top 6 at the UK box office. At number 3 is Trolls. At number 2 is Arrival. And at number 1, just in time for us to review this, is the prequel, some say, to Harry Potter, the new J.K. Rowling movie, which is Fantastic Beasts. Michael Fowler has seen it. I have seen it. We don't know what the other person thought of it, and we're about to share this with you, Michael Fowler.
Well, so it's not really a prequel as much as it's set in the wizarding world of out there, the Harry Potter world that J.K. Rowling has created. So it is set before Harry Potter was alive, though. So this is in the 1920s, and a wizard called Newt Scamander, who wrote a book called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which you would see in the Harry Potter films, he arrives in New York with a case full of beasts and after meeting some really wonderful characters.
Titular beasts, I believe they're called.
Titular beasts.
Yeah, because he's a collector of titular beasts. I found that out today.
Mm. Very good. Well, I can't even think what titular means.
I'm not going to go there.
Is it because the titular is because the Fantastic Beast is in the title?
Possibly.
I think.
Titular. Very. See, J.K. Rowling would do something like that. You get the feeling she could do that. So what did you make of it? This is a movie that has garnished £75 million in the US box office, breaking all records over the weekend. Here it's picked up over £15 million in the box office. So it's been very successful. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I am a Harry Potter fan, and I enjoyed the later Harry Potter films. They were much better than the other ones, but this film is better than all of the Harry Potter films, for sure. You've got some very charming and classic J.K. Rowling characters been made here that, on the one hand, you want to go on an adventure with them, and the other hand, that they're very funny and they really stand out. And so Newt meets up with an Aura, or an ex-Aura, who... it's played by Catherine Waterston, and she's kind of a spunky character that is trying to get back to being where she was.
She's kind of a police officer of the wizarding world.
Yeah. I'm talking Harry Potter nerdy.
Yeah. No, feel free. Absolutely feel free. If there's one movie which you can do that in, by all means, you can feel free to get into the muggles and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And so she's kind of like trying to keep Newt in check. And then Newt bumps into a muggle, or the Americans call them a nomad, and they're people that can't do magic. And this Jacob character is brilliant. And for someone that isn't magical at all, like the rest of the wizarding world, every time he's on the screen, he kind of brings a bit of magic to it. He's very funny, very heartwarming character. And it's just a really great roller coaster ride. I think they're running around New York trying to catch Newt's beast back, and it's very funny and exciting. All the while, it's setting up for some new films that are coming along the way, I imagine. Apparently, there's a second one. The second one's going to be set in Paris.
J.K. Rowling says that our story starts in 1926, ends in 1945.
Yeah.
It's just the beginning. We've got four more movies to fit in. Right, we talked about Doctor Strange a couple of weeks ago, and Michael Fowler and I, we bumped heads. First time in this incarnation of Radio Joy that we bumped heads.
I have a feeling that it's going to happen again, and I reckon it's probably for similar reasons, but this film does have its negatives.
Okay, hold on.
But I think this is a very good film, and before Adam destroys it, I just...
Connor.
She's
done it again. Right. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Eddie Redmayne as Newt Scamander was absolutely fantastic.
No way!
I absolutely loved it. Right. The reason I loved it, as why I didn't like Doctor Strange, there is a narrative. They take the time to have a little breath to explain the bits and pieces. I am by no means an Eddie Redmayne fan.
No, me neither.
But he was just superb. His personality fits into this personality just perfectly.
Yeah, he's really good.
And again, using the reason that I didn't like Doctor Strange, I didn't think that Benedict Cumberbatch was fully encompassed to the character. I thought he was superb. He was quick-witted. He was quirky. You can see him being in this role. It doesn't define him as an actor either.
Yeah. One of the most exciting things I think about Newt Scamander, the character that Eddie Redmayne's created there, is that he's not kind of your average hero. He's quite insular. Like, you you can kind of see him. He looked like he preferred to be reading a book or seeing to an animal rather than actually being with people. And yet he's the hero of the film that's uniting all these people.
And I do, like you said, I love the fact that Dan Folger is there playing Jacob, like almost the second hero in the movie. And he's, you know that he's going to have something to do with the other movies in the way in which it sort of all culminates. Ezra Miller, I thought, was amazing as Credence. He plays a really sort of strange, sort of underused...
Puritan.
You think it's going to be an underused character and all of a sudden you recognise that the story plays out the way in which you didn't think. I thought the special effects were brilliant. Do you know what? I'm with you. I think that's better than any of the Harry Potter movies and I will physically go and see this. Now, I'm like yourself. I've seen two or three, specifically towards the end because the hype was there or thereabouts. But I loved this. One thing I will say about it, very dark in places.
Yeah, I
think, much darker. It's 12A territory.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah. I think kids will definitely, like young kids will be scared. But I think in any kind of, it's like Disney. There's scary moments in Disney. It'll be okay, but there are some really spooky moments in it.
So breaking news here on Radio City Talk: Michael Fowler and Connor Phillips both agree that Fantastic Beasts is definitely one worth going to see. It's, you know, it's hitting over the £100 million mark. By this time next week, it will have made its £175 million budget back. This is going to be one of the big movies of the year, and genuinely do go and see it. And as you're right, Catherine Waterston, she is superb. She becomes better as the movie goes on, and at the end, she's very, very good in it as well.